You have your Bibles today, very familiar story, Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, title is, If I Can But Touch Him. Just read about five verses here. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood starched. Jesus said, Who touched me? When all the night, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, came trembling and falling down before him, and she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Now, this is a story of a woman, we know that, but it also is a parallel of what the world is today, desperate people needing Jesus. As we look around and see people, they're in desperate situations. I mean, some of them are very, very serious. Struggling with things. And they need to know that there's a way out. They need to know that there's help. They need to know that there's a way that can help them. And it amazes me how so many people will try so many things but refuse to try Jesus Christ. And the world needs to know this. They need to know that they can get to this man called Christ. The world doesn't need another stimulus package. We certainly don't need another Dr. Phil. But what the world needs to know is, if I can but touch him, I will be made whole. That's what the world needs to know. And this woman is a perfect parallel, perfect example of what the world is today. There are people out there that are broken. There are people out there that are hurting. And they need to know that if they want to alleviate this, they need to get to Jesus. Now, as we read about this woman, she had been sick with this condition, as we read in Luke chapter 43, 12 years. She spent everything upon everything else, physicians. Nothing could help her. They couldn't heal her. The doctors could not make her better. Mark says it this way. He said she had suffered many things of many physicians. She'd spent everything that she had, but was nothing better, but she grew worse. Man, as we know, can only go so far. And the prophet Isaiah says this about us. Now, this is our state. But we are all as unclean thing, and our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we are do fade as the leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. As we look around at the world and we understand that none of us can stand before a holy God without acknowledging that we share in the unclean nature. We look around, there's unrighteous deeds going on, fading morality going on, imperfect motives going on. And this describes the world that we live in today. And they need to know that there is a way out. They need to know that they can get to Jesus. It's not in the PowerPoint, but I thought about what Jesus, amen, had said. He called himself, amen, I believe in John. He said, I am the door. Now, when I look at that and it says, I am the door, that leads me to believe that there is a way that you can get to Jesus. There's a way out. A door leads to another place. A door leads to another era. Amen. And so we need to understand that the world needs to know this, that Jesus said that he was the door. So why don't they open the door? What's holding them back? What's holding us back from stepping into maybe a new realm of God, a new place in God? And I thought that we need to understand this, man. I mean, as lights of the world, we need to let people know there's a way out. There's a way out. I thought about that young man that went to the middle school where Bruce worked and walked in with a gun and shot himself. I thought somebody needed to get a hold of that young man 5 minutes before he walked into that school and said, young man, there's a way out of this. Hey man, you don't have to take this route. Many people are doing that. Many people are crawling in the bottles and taking drugs and ruining their life, and many of them are taking their life, and they need to know there's a way out, and that way out is if I can but touch him, if I can get a hold of the hem of his garment, if I can reach out and touch the one, amen, who walked on the water, if I can reach out and touch the one, amen, who healed the blind, raised the dead, amen, if I can only get a hold of the Son of God, somebody needs to let them know, somebody needs to tell them, somebody needs to raise the banner that there is a way out for desperate people. There is a way out for those that are hurting. All they need to do is touch the hem of his garment today. I thought of the woman in Luke chapter 8 suffering with this issue of blood so long. It had to be, I guess, so long it had become almost a part of her everyday life. And I know how it feels when people say, this is as good as it gets. These are the cards that I've been dealt. It doesn't get any better than this. I guess I'm going to have to suffer through this. 12 years, you hang on to something like that for 12 years of sickness. Hey man, I don't know what it, financial issues, marital problems. Hey man, children issues. Hey man, whatever it is. Hey man, Matt was talking about the man that hadn't talked to his mother and they lived 100 yards, amen, apart. This becomes part of their life, part of their living. This is as good as it gets. Hey man, I know many people that have that attitude. Well, this is what I've been dealt. I guess I'm going to have to deal with it. I just got to live with it. Well, I want you to know you don't have to live with it. I want you to know, amen, that there's a door that you'll just knock on. There's a door that if you'll grab the handle and turn the knob and step on the other side, you'll meet somebody that can take it away. I know the devil doesn't want you, amen, to know, amen, there is hope. Amen. What people need to know today, amen, there's hope in a living Savior. There's hope, amen, in a risen Savior. And somebody has got to proclaim the message, and Jesus can deliver them out of their situation today. Who's going to tell them? It's got to be the church. The devil doesn't want you to know. Lay there. Stay in the mess. Tell yourself there's no hope. Tell yourself there's no way out. And the longer you're in it, the more you believe it. The longer you're in it, the more you're willing to accept it. I've said this before. When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, amen, you'll do something about it. Amen. It's time we quit laying in it and wallowing in it and just saying this is as good as it gets. You got to tell yourself, no, amen, there's a way out. Amen, there's a way out. Amen. One of the powerful scriptures on why Jesus came. Amen. When he stood up in the synagogue that day in Luke chapter 4 and opened up the scriptures and began to say this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Oh, he's talking about the anointing of God. Amen. The Holy Ghost power of God. He said, because he hath anointed me to do what? Amen. To preach the gospel where? To the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. Talking about the year of Jubilee. He stood up in that synagogue, all eyes on him, and he began to talk about God in the present tense. And you know what, people? That makes people uncomfortable. It's much more comfortable to study about God, his mighty acts, or to focus upon prophecy or the second coming. Prophecy, theology, and church history are safe. Amen. It's much riskier, amen, to open your heart to God each day. Amen. To listen and hear and ask, Lord, what are you telling me today? That plunges us into the now of God, into the dimension that Jesus introduces here. He was telling them, amen, God's here. Amen, he's here and now. I'm here to tell you this, amen, today, if we only have the God of history and the God of the apocalypse, then what do we have? Amen, but Jesus said it's now. He closed the book and he said the scripture is fulfilled this day in your ears. You know what he did? He brought the God of history, the God of the apocalypse, amen, into the now. And I'm telling you what, people, I want the God of now. I want the God of today. I want to reach out and touch him now. I need him now. I need a healing now. How many of us need to say, Lord, I need you now. Amen. Come in. I want a move of God now. I want to see God move now. How many wants the God of now to move in your life? Well, glory to God. We want to push God out. Talk about all the other things. Bringing him into the now makes us nervous. Because when we reach and come in contact with God, what has to happen is there's got to be a change in our life. Something's got to give when we touch him, when we reach him. And a lot of people don't want to give up where they're at or what they're doing. I'm telling you what, it's time you step out of your mess. It's time you step out of your disaster. It's time you step out of your hurt. It's time you step out of your discouragement. Amen. Your oppression. Your depression. Amen. And step into the now of God. And let the liberty and the freedom of the Holy Ghost move on you. And I'm telling you what Jesus said. The Bible said, and he said it, whom the Son sets free is what? Amen. He is free indeed. Amen. I'll tell you what. Amen. Freedom is something. Amen. That in the natural, amen, people do, I mean, extraordinary things. Matt, they risked their life for freedom. Amen. They want freedom. Well, it's the same way in the spirit. Amen. I've been bound and I've been free. And I'm telling you what, freedom is the place to live. Freedom is the place to walk under the anointing and the freedom of the Holy Ghost. How many wants to be free today? Well, if you do, reach out and touch the Lord today. Never understood why people sit there and just hurt When I read that in Luke chapter 4, talking about healing and setting at liberty, hurting people need fixed, broken hearts need mended. Those who are bound by sickness and oppression, whatever it may be, the chains of bondage can be broken. All you got to do is get to Jesus. The enemy will lay every obstacle in your way. He will tell you, no, he don't love you. He will try to get you to believe that you can't get to him. He's too lofty. He's too far into the heavens. Amen. I'm telling you what, just a mention of his name is all it takes. Amen. Just a mention of his name, those storm clouds will begin to dissipate. And amen. And you'll feel the presence of God. I'm telling you right now, there is no man, there is no devil, there is no demon, I don't care if there are many, that can keep you away from Jesus Christ. Did you hear me? The devil will tell you you're too bound, you're too messed up, your mind's too far gone. Amen. You're too this and you're too that. Well, I'm telling you what, you're not. Amen. If you want to get to him, all you got to do is reach out and touch the Lord today. All you got to do is reach out and touch him and see, amen, what happens in your life today. He'll put obstacles in your way. He'll make it difficult. And I'm telling you what, people, sometimes if you want something, you're going to have to fight for it. I'm talking about spiritually. You think these people that are in positions today, Warren Buffett, even Donald Trump, Bill Gates, got where they're at today by clicking back the lounger and turning the TV on? They worked for it. They pressed for it. They pushed for it. They worked 12, 14, 16 hours a day. You could talk about the guy who owns the company that Dave and I work for. You ask him. He's put in 14, 15, 16 hours a day. And at late 70s, he still comes in. Why? I don't know, but he still does. He worked for that. It wasn't given to him. And so if you want something in the spirit, you're going to have to work for it. Paul used the term, I press. What does that mean? I press. I press toward the mark. All the obstacles that the devil throws in my way, I step over. Too many of us fall down, roll up into a ball, and start rocking back and forth. They stepped over them. Go read the story of the Apostle Paul and look at his obstacles. Shipwrecked, put on an island. And I thought about Paul on this island of Malta, you know, wet and cold, and they're out gathering sticks. Where was Paul? Out gathering sticks with everybody else, helping to be a servant, doing something. And then when he reached down to grab a bunch of sticks, the viper bit him. The devil doesn't want you to do anything. He doesn't want you working. He doesn't want you praying. He doesn't want you seeking God. He wants you sitting on a pew and doing absolutely nothing. Paul could have sat back and he said, guys, I got you this far. I told you nothing was going to happen to you. Now you go gather the stuff. I'm going to sit right here and watch. But he started being a servant and the devil bit him. What did Paul do? He turned that situation into a revival on that island. You can turn your situation into a revival if you won't lay there and suck your thumb, amen, and get up and step out and begin to step over the obstacles that the devil has placed in your place. I press toward the mark for the prize. What's the prize? The high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Amen. After receiving eternal life, Paul is out running for a prize. He's pushing himself in the bad times and in the good times, because Christ became everything. He said, I count all things but dung except for Jesus. Amen. He's running a race. He talks about the race many times in his writings. Amen. In what way? Well, somebody, amen, someday he's going to appear in his presence. We all are. And his whole thought is, when I come into the presence of God, I don't want to be ashamed. Amen. John said this in 1 John. Amen. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Amen. That is possible to be. It's possible to be ashamed. Amen. Those people that's not doing anything. And there's many Christians today talking, amen, about Jesus coming. But if they really knew what they were saying, amen, they would clam up, amen, and probably get back to work. They would say, Lord, you need to postpone for a little while. Amen. If you think you can live a careless Christian life and not have to answer to it, well, you're wrong. Because one of these days, everybody's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. To give an account on the way that we've lived. And I'm telling you what, and I'm including myself in this. Amen. Church, we need to get busy. Did you hear me? We need to get busy for the King. I don't care what the obstacles are. I don't care what the devil throws in your path. I don't care what he whispers in your ear. She sang that song, He's Under My Feet. And Doug, that's where the devil belongs, under your feet, not on our shoulder, whispering in our ear. I don't care what he throws. I don't care what I face. Amen. I run this race to win. Did you hear me? The song says, more than anything in this life, I've got to make it. I'm running this race to win. I'm not going to lose. I've got a goal in mind, and that is to see Jesus Christ, my Lord. We all got obstacles. This woman, you see, had many obstacles, because by the law, she was forbidden by the law to have any social contact with anybody because of an unclean situation. If she defies the law, she would suffer a great penalty, maybe even death. The devil says to her for 12 years, maybe Jesus, this is the only opportunity you have, I don't know. But it was hammered in her. And I'm telling you what, if you hammer something into somebody long enough, they'll probably believe it. It was, and it doesn't say she had anybody else. It doesn't say she had a husband, children. The Bible doesn't say. By herself? I don't know. But for 12 years, maybe she wanted to step out. And in the back of her mind, the law says you're unclean. The law says you're unclean. You can't touch anyone. Just stay in your home and die. And that's a good spiritual lesson right there. You're not good enough. You'll never amount to anything. Just don't pray. Don't seek God. Oh, you can come to church and sit on the pew and give you a false sense of security. Where does the Bible say judgment's going to start? In the house of God. Just stay right there. You're never going to amount to nothing. You'll be all right. And you're withering away little by little spiritually. So just stay home and die. She had suffered the issue of blood, not even allowed to set foot in the synagogue. She couldn't even come to church. She was ceremonially unclean. She was at the other end of the social and religious spectrum. And Jesus returns by boat from the country of the Gadarenes, and a crowd is waiting for him. And amidst all this, touching, jostling, and this woman maybe looks out her door and sees Jesus coming down the street and the crowd. And somebody says, this is Jesus of Nazareth. She's heard the stories about what he's done. And she sits there, and Isaac, she's got to make a decision. That means she's got to make a decision. As she opens that door and she sees him pass by, what am I going to do? Amen. As I said, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you'll do something about it. She had to make a decision. Am I going to break the law? And she steps out and she begins to break the law. Amen. Very serious crime. Mark puts it this way. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and as she's pushing behind, I don't know what happened. She's weak. Maybe she falls to her knees. Amen. But it says there, and touched his garment. Now in other scriptures, amen, because she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. In other scriptures, it says the hem, and that's usually maybe the bottom part. I don't know if she fell on her knees from weakness, amen, being jostled and pushed, and in one last desperate act, amen, she lunges, amen, and reaches out and touches the hem of his garment. And I'm telling you what, church, amen, something happened in that moment when she decided, nobody decided for her. Amen, nobody was around. Nobody but the devil was telling her, you cannot, you better not. And she made her mind up. Today is going to be different. Today I'm going to be healed. Today I'm going to live. Come on, somebody, you got to make your mind up and reach out and touch the Lord today. In that last desperate act, she said, if I may but touch him. Desperate situation. Mark said she'd heard about the man. She'd heard about what he's done. She felt, this is my only chance. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I don't care what the law says. I don't care what anybody says. She reaches out to Jesus. But she believes that if she touched just the border of his garment. And look what happens. Jesus immediately perceives, and I'm going to use this word, that a transaction had taken place. There was a transaction between him and her. Now, he was being pushed and thronged by many people, but I believe there was only one desperate woman in that crowd. One desperate person. The other ones maybe had heard that he fed them. You know how people are. Jesus, a lot of people just come for the fishes and the loaves. You know how they are. You get a big evangelist come through here, they're all flocked to him because they want something. Do they really want to know Jesus? No, they just want something. I'm not saying everybody's like that. But everybody's pushing him and shoving him. But there was only one desperate person. And when she reaches out and touches him, a transaction takes place between Jesus and the woman. Now that would lead me to believe that when God answers our prayers, there's a release of power that goes from the throne room directly to you. The Bible evidence points to the fact that there is a reservoir of power available, and that when we ask in faith, there is a transfer of that power to us. Because Jesus says in Luke chapter 8, who touched me? And everybody around denied. They're thinking, uh-oh, we're in trouble because we was pushing him. And Peter looked at him and basically said in today's vernacular, huh? Look at all the people that's pushing you. And you ask who touched me? Jesus said, somebody touched me. It was a different touch. He goes, for I perceive that virtue is going out of me. Somebody had touched him. And they all denied it. Peter didn't understand what he was trying to say. But I want to tell you what, people. Jesus knows when you touch him. a touch that drew power from Christ himself. He didn't touch her. She touched him. You know what that leads me to believe? That you don't need me laying hands on you. Brian, you can get healed right where you sit. Come on. You don't need some preacher laying hands on you. You can say, I need you. And at that moment, something can change. We think we got to have the preacher touch you. I don't need to touch you. I don't like that oil. It gets all over my fingers and it's slimy and slippery. Pray for yourself. Don't call me at 3 o'clock in the morning. Roll over and pray for yourself. My prayer is just as good as your prayer. See, that is what that is you want somebody else to do all the work for you and hoping you receive something from God. Preachers ought to say, I'm tired of plowing your garden. You get it out and plow a little bit yourself. If you're in a desperate situation, you can reach out and touch him. He felt it go out of him. So that leads me to believe that when you touch him, something happens. He didn't touch her. She touched him. She reached out to him. Remember that a crowd was all about him. The disciples seeing the crowd pressing on him. Amen. They didn't understand what happened. Yet only the woman was healed. She was the only sick one in the crowd. The only one who had enough faith. Faith, faith, faith. Get that in you to be healed. She was thinking, something's got to change. Are you thinking that today? I can't go on living like this anymore. She was getting ready to change her life. She was doing it and nothing was going to get in her way. I don't care what the obstacle was. It wasn't easy. She was weak. Amen. From being sick. She had to fight her way through the crowd. Amen. No obstacle was getting in her way. Amen. That was her miracle. That was her chance. And she was going to take it. Amen. Some of us need to get to that point today. Amen. I need to do it now. The Bible says, when she touched him on the border of his garment in Luke 8:44, the issue was starched. She touched the border of his garment, and Jesus, who was totally human, was well aware of the power he possessed, and that power was noticeably diminished. Who touched me, he said. I can think of a couple of reasons why he said, come forward. He didn't want to embarrass her. One of the reasons was, it might have taken a long time for this social and religious outcast to convince her friends and the hierarchies in the synagogue that she was clean. Jesus publicly announced her so. She was immediately restored. And then he wanted her to know, and this is the best part right here, what her faith did. Do you understand what your faith can do? It can move mountains. It can change the mind of God. It can change what God was going to do. If you believe, we were studying Abraham. He changed the mind of God about Sodom and how many people was there to be destroyed. Whittled it down. That shows you the mercies of God by faith. That's how we walk. We live in now faith. The evidence. It's not seen, but we believe it. Faith isn't tangible, but it will come to pass. You need to have faith. So he wanted her to know two things. He wanted everybody to know that she was clean. He wanted those dead religious people to know that she was clean. And then he wanted her to know. This is what I like about it. He wanted her to know. Your faith. Your risking everything. You making that decision. Saying in your mind, if I can but touch him. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has done this. I'm telling you what, the devil wants to stuff your shout, cloud your vision. He wants to diminish you to a nothing. Amen. But you need to rise up out of the rubble of the situation you're in and still say in your mind and speak it out loud that God is still God. He wanted the crowd to know. If you need me, you can touch me. If you need a miracle for your spouse, it can happen. If you need a miracle for yourself, it can happen. If you need your finances changed, it can happen. All we have to do is reach out and touch Him. In Luke chapter 5, and for time's sake, I'm not going to read all of this, but it was let's read some of it. It came to pass on a certain day He was teaching there, and were Pharisees, doctors of the law, those who are those religious stuffed shirts, you seen them, by which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, a man brought in a bed. Now I'm telling you what, I don't know if the owner of the house got mad. I don't know. But this guy was sick with the palsy. He had been sick. His friends couldn't get in because of all the people in there, and Jesus was teaching. And I can just imagine Brian, them guys sitting there, and all of a sudden whatever straw or whatever started. And next you know, there's a big hole in the roof. Next thing you know, they're lowering this man right down in front of Jesus. Sometimes you need help to get your miracle. You need people to pray with you, to stand with you, to counsel you, to be a friend to you. I say it all the time. If I value you, I will listen to you. I might not have all the answers, but by listening to somebody, it says I value you as a person. These friends were had to be good friends. Maybe the guy's house doesn't say. Maybe he was one of them dudes lowering him down. But they lowered him down. If I can but touch Him. And I thought that was a great faith of an obstacle that presented to them. And they brought him to Jesus. And they could not find. The Bible says they went up on the housetop, let him down. And when he saw their faith, there's that word again. He said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven. It wasn't their miracle, but they were getting to Jesus for somebody else. They didn't care about the roof. Matthew says, Jesus, in Matthew 19, but Jesus beheld them and said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I'm telling you what, we ought to circle that. Lowering him down. I'm thinking to myself, those were great friends. We need friends in our life. We need people we can talk to. We need people that will listen to us. Just to be a sounding board sometimes. We need people like that to help us get maybe from point A to point B. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. I think sometimes people close themselves in and don't want to reach out. And sometimes you need to reach out to a person and say, I need to talk to you. I need to just talk to you. And I bet Jesus was amazed at that moment. Do you want to see your miracle? Do you want to tell yourself nothing's going to stop me? Mark chapter 10, I'm going to read a little bit. And they came to Jericho, His disciples and a great number of people. And we heard Brother Hale talk about blind Bartimaeus. I believe he said he was blinded, not from birth, but from the story Brother Hale said. So maybe blind Bartimaeus could see. And I'm sure that everybody was telling him to be quiet because he was a beggar. They said, hold your peace. But he cried a little longer and a little louder, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Mark sets the scene, leaving Jericho on the last leg of his journey to Jerusalem, just 15 miles away. Passover is approaching, and the road is jammed with pilgrims on the way to the holy city. And here they came out, and blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, amen, sat by the highway begging. The size of the crowd followed after Jesus swelled to a great multitude, putting all the demand, all these dynamics, amen, of milling around, moving people together in a festive atmosphere. atmosphere. Amen. Must have filled the air with a tingle of triumph. And all of a sudden, this beggar starts screaming, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Amen. Somebody, shut up, blind Bartimaeus. Amen. Shut up. Amen. You're going to create a scene here. Amen. You're going to bring a reputation to the city of Jericho, a blight on the festivities. Amen. Many citizens trying to silence him. Oh, but the blind man needed a miracle. He saw the man that could do it, and he cried all the more. Amen. He cried all the more. Amen. I'm telling you what Psalm says this. This poor man cried, and what happened? The Lord heard him, saved him out of his trouble. Amen. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus stood still. I'm here to tell you something, people. Amen. Through all the noise, he knows the cry of desperation. Amen. Through all the amen drama that's going on, he hears the cry of desperation, and he stopped. Why did he stop? Amen. Somebody needed to touch Jesus. And he looked at him and he said, "Be of comfort. Arise," he called thee. He stopped. I'm telling you what, he'll stop for you. He comes to Jesus. His life, the blind beggar, has counted on others to lead him. Not this time. He got up and went to Jesus, still blind. He walks toward his miracle. Come on, people, get up and walk toward your miracle, because it's coming. What a sight it must have been to see the crowd open a path for this blind man as he makes his way to Jesus. And when he gets to Jesus, you know what he does? Oh, hallelujah. He cast away that beggar's garment. I'm telling you what, he knew what was going to happen. He knew he wasn't going to be a beggar anymore. You need to cast off the garment of depression. Amen. Oppression. Amen. Whatever it may be, you need to cast that garment off. Amen. And make your way to Jesus Christ. And he walks up to Jesus. He cast it away. Amen. His robe, he's getting ready for a life-changing event. Amen. Still blind, but he's saying by faith, if I can get to Jesus, I will be made whole. The blindness didn't stop him. He was going to get his miracle. Come on, people. Amen. Cast away the garment of doubt, fear, uncertainty, oppression, anxiety, and begin to run towards a miracle. Amen. Nobody else can stop it. Blind Bartimaeus' faith has already made him whole. He was feeling it. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What do you want me to do unto thee?" And the blind man said, "Lord, amen, I want to see." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith," there's that word again, "thy faith has made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. His faith, there's that word again. What would it have meant if he'd have kept on that robe? There was still some doubt there if he'd have kept on that robe. Well, what if I don't? I might need this. But he cast that robe off. Come on, you need to cast them off. Whatever it is in your life, you need to cast it off. And you need to make your way toward the man called Christ. It's not that hard to do. The devil will tell you, "Don't get up, don't move, don't move, don't move. Just stay right there." But I'm telling you, people, you need to just shred it. And once you cast it off, don't look back. Don't be like a dog and go back to the bone he's buried. Bury it and leave it. I want you to understand, you can be spiritually free, physically sound, if you want to. In Luke chapter 19, 1 through 5, there was Zacchaeus. And I'm telling you what, Jesus doesn't, and we know who he was. We know why people didn't like him. Climbed up in the tree. Jesus said to him, "Come down, I'm going to your house." And I'm sure the scribes and the Pharisees about threw a fit. But that lets me to believe too that no matter who you are, race, gender, doesn't matter. He'll reach you. If you want him, you can touch him. A lot of people think because of the lot they've been born into, it doesn't matter. You can touch him. We just need to get a mindset. I can touch him. I can touch him. I can touch him. Every day you need to stand up and say, I can touch him. How many of us know today that we need to reach out and touch the Lord? How bad do you want your miracle? There was a Syrophoenician woman by name, by nation. The Bible says, and she brought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. And what did Jesus say to her? Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast them unto the dogs. Now that was a very hard statement, but it was the nature of that day. And she looked at him with astounding wisdom. Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. A woman puts truth to the test. Desperate. And she isn't giving up. She asks Jesus if he will come to her home. And whether testing his courage or her faith, he puts down gently but firmly the way it was that day. It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. In Jesus' mind, the Jews still come first. It really wasn't the hour of the Gentiles. But it lets me know that he wasn't going to exclude the Gentile race. It's all a matter of faith and timing, but he meets his match. I believe Jesus was astounded at this lady's response. And he said, go, your daughter's been made whole. How bad do you want it? How bad? Our attitude is, well, he's going to have to come to me. You can take your fishing pole and you can sit on the front porch and you can cast in the yard all day long, Isaac, but you're not going to catch any fish. You got to do what? You got to go where the fish are at. They're not going to come to you. You got to go to them. And you got to cry out. And what I mean by Jesus will come to you, but you first in faith have to cry out, Jesus, I need you. I desperately need a touch in my life. I desperately need a miracle. And I'm going to close. And I don't know why we try every avenue. Jesus says, I'm the door. And I'm thinking there are more doctors prescribing more pills to slow you down, speed you up, calm you down, and whatever. And Brian, they really don't work. Laying on psychiatrists' couches, telling this guy all your troubles, and he just writes you a script, and you go up and get it, and pop him, and you become a zombie. But I'm telling you what, this whatever it is going on can be taken care of if you go to the right place. If my arm's broke, I don't go to the grocery store. If I'm having a heart attack, I don't call a taxi cab. If I'm sick and need help, I'm going to go to the hospital. You might, I won't, but you know how it is. I wait to the last very second, I'm about dead, then go. But you got to go to where the help's at. You got to go to Jesus. There's no other place. There's no name greater. His name is Jesus. He'll take it away. Sister Claire used to sing a song years ago, "I Got the Best of the Trade." I remember that song like it was yesterday. And when you think about it, I got the best of the trade. I had nothing to offer, nothing to give. And He took all my hurt, all my pain, and He gave me something to live for. And I thank Him so much for what He's done. He's my only answer, my only avenue. And I'm telling you what, there's still miracles. I still believe in miracles. There are those that are reaching out with a desperate touch. And you got to believe, just because your miracle don't take place immediately. There's a story of a blind man got prayed for, nothing happened. And he walked around saying he was healed, but he was still blind. He walked into his barber shop with his cane and he sat down, and the barber said, "Well, how you doing?" He said, barber said, "Still blind?" And the man said, "Yeah, but I'm healed." And at that time, I don't know how far in between he got healed, but at that moment, when those words came out of his mouth, his eyes opened up and he could see. You got to believe. And I'm telling you what, in an awesome worship service, you can reach out and touch Him with a different touch and leave restored. You can reach out and see a move of God in your life. There's a story, another story about a husband and wife came to church separately. She sat downstairs in front, and he in the balcony. They hadn't spoken for weeks. But something happened in that service. They left together restored. You want Him to heal your relationship? He can. These things don't surprise me. I'm just surprised that they don't happen more in a faith-filled crowd. What are we hanging on? Why are you holding on to it? Think about it. Why are you holding on to it? Won't you release it? Why don't you give it up? How bad do you want to get to Jesus? Isaiah says this in 55:1. "Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." And Jesus said it in Matthew, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden's light." How bad? Think about it. How bad? How bad do you want to be restored? How bad do you want to be set free? How bad? Well, there's only one way to find out. You need to touch Jesus today. I'm telling you, people, you need to touch Jesus today. And as they sing this song, if there's anybody in here today, you need to reach out and touch Him. These altars are open. You need prayer? We'll help you touch Him. We'll help you touch Him. If there's anybody.